We celebrate today two beautiful miracles that occurred in the same place, Jerusalem. We celebrate the raising of the paralytic from his paralysis. We also celebrate today, on this particular day in Jerusalem, in the 4th century, a wonderful miracle that occurred over the church of the Anastasis, or the church of the Holy Sepulchre, as it's often called. The church of the resurrection, stretching from there all the way to the Mount of Olives, was seen a beautiful light in the form of a cross. For a period of time and long enough for many of the inhabitants to see it. This was during the time of Cyril of Jerusalem, the great father of the church that I'd mentioned to you so many times, in which we have saved for us this great treasure of patristic mystagogical catechesis, this early church teaching and instruction in the faith. We hear today in the gospel of the raising of a man near the water by Jesus. Great crowds were there. He wasn't really sure who this guy was when he was asked about it. The others in the crowd weren't sure what happened. And later Jesus found him and said, "Now go and sin no more." I've mentioned to you all through Lent how Great Lent, or the Great Fast, was originally constructed. That lectionary cycle and that whole period leading up to Pascha, to Passover, was put in place in those early centuries of the church, coming to a great climax during the time of Cyril of Jerusalem. And it's from that period that we still have many of the beautiful prayers that we sing during Pascha, during the liturgy, and also this lectionary cycle in which today we hear about the raising of the paralytic. Why does the church give to us this reading today? We are now a few weeks from Pascha. Imagine the newly baptized, those catechumens having gone through that whole process and preparation, and then finally baptized, chrismated, and finally receiving Holy Communion on that great day. The old man was dead, the new man had come to life. All sins of their past are washed away in the baptismal font, like the filth of pagan Egypt, washed off the flesh of the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea. Or, as St. Peter says, as the earth is washed, or as the flood came upon the earth and washed away all of the wickedness there. This corresponds, St. Peter says, to baptism. Because you see the new man, Noah, coming forth out of the ark. Right? And so the newly baptized now are entering back into the world. And in the world, they encounter again the things from which they came. Temptations to idols. Temptations to cult prostitutes. Temptations to a licentious life that was common among the pagans. And the newly baptized now as Christians have to learn how to live a different kind of life. And they are to be, as St. Paul says, as St. John says in his first epistle, sinless. We are all called to be sinless after our baptism. We are all called to walk in the ways of Christ. Now, has anybody after their baptism here been tempted to sin? Anyone? Maybe one or two. You don't need to raise your hand. I know I have. Not only have I been tempted to sin after my baptism, I was baptized when I was 12, but I have sinned. I not only was tempted and tested, but I fell. Anyone here fallen into that category? Maybe a few minor imperfections, some failures since your baptism? Probably one or two here certainly know what I'm talking about. But this is not supposed to be. We were created in the image and likeness of God to walk in His ways, to live in the Garden of Eden with Him forever, living as children of a loving Father in perfect obedience to His will. You know the rest of salvation history and what happened. I don't need to remind you. We've talked about it many times. But through the baptismal font, these former pagans have been baptized, that is, drawn from the murky waters like Adam of old. They've had the breath of life through chrismation breathed into their nostrils so that they are now living beings, new creations in Christ. And they have received His body and blood, the fruit of the tree of life. For Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, and I will raise him on the last day." Which is what this is all about, as I've mentioned so many times. But how is it that after we've been recreated in the image and likeness of God, brought back to perfection, that like Adam and old, so quickly we can fall again, and again, and again? Because we have a problem on this side of the baptismal font as we await the resurrection from the dead. We are a composite being. Man was made in the image and likeness of God, created in perfection, bodily, spiritually, in perfect harmony to His loving Father. We, after the baptismal font, are not exactly in that same situation. We may, in spirit, have been baptized into Christ, risen with Him to newness of life, died, buried, raised from the dead. But as St. Paul says, our bodies often still yearn for the old ways. That's because our bodies have not yet died and been raised from the dead. Our bodies are not yet perfectly yoked to the will of God as we are in spirit. Western theologians call this concupiscence, that tendency towards sin, even after baptism. The problem is, as I said, is in spirit, and in your heart you know, because God's Spirit is now within you, what is right and wrong. You know it. It is the fulfillment of what the great prophet Jeremiah said, or what the Lord said through him in the 31st chapter of that book. "A new covenant I will give with you, O Israel. Not like the one of old that I gave to your fathers, that you broke at Mount Sinai, even though I was your father, your husband, even though we were yoked in a covenant. This new covenant I will give to you in your flesh. I will write it in your flesh. So that no man will say to another, 'Know the Lord,'" that is, you have to instruct him in anything, "but rather, he will know in his heart what is right and wrong in this new covenant. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We have a sense of the will of God within us because God dwells within us." But the problem is that we are still in this earthen vessel. We are still walking about in a body that is the body of the old man before the baptismal font. When will that change? When will our body, that maybe still sometimes yearns for the old ways or for the things of this world, when will that change? When our bodies die and rise from the dead. Some of us, this will occur before Jesus Christ comes. Maybe for all of us in this room. Who knows? Jesus might come in 5 minutes. That would be nice. Or He might come in an hour, this afternoon. He may come next week. He may come in a few years, in which some of us here might be dead, buried in the tomb, asleep in Christ, awaiting the resurrection. But He might not come for 10,000 years. Who knows? We might be the early church. But whatever the case, we know that He will return and He will raise our mortal bodies from the dead. And those who have died, He will bring with Him, their souls. And they will be reunited with their newly created bodies, and then and only then will they no longer be this composite being that yearns for one way in another way, but they will now be a composite being as Adam was of old, perfectly united in body and soul to Christ. No more concupiscence then. No more yearning for something contrary to the will of God, because your bodies will now be in perfect accord with the will that is within you, which is the will of God. Come, Lord Jesus. And so, we hear in the gospel today a warning to the newly baptized. The image of the paralytic lying there with the other sick by the pool is an image, as the church saw, not only, of course, did this happen, but they see it as an image of those who are awaiting baptism. It's the people of the world who have not yet been baptized, who are paralyzed spiritually, spiritually sick, spiritually laying dead in sin, that are in need of the baptismal font, that are in need of the water of the pool. But what does the water do? Is it water in and of itself that baptizes, that changes the individual, that heals? No, it is Jesus Christ. Which is why we find in each of these readings from John now, today for the paralytic, the Samaritan woman, that Jesus is the source of the true living water. The water in that baptismal font is only given power to do what it does through the power of Jesus Christ. Do we understand this? Do we really perceive Jesus when this happens? I think for most of it, most of us, and any of those who have had a child recently baptized, it's a bit confusing, right? You're trying to get the baby dressed, or you're being baptized, you're trying to get ready, and before you know it, it's all done. What happened? Did I really get baptized? I'm wet. I remember it, sort of. Did Jesus really heal me? Right? The questions begin to maybe rise. Was Jesus there? Right? Did you recognize Jesus in the baptismal font? Did the crowd who was there in the church, like the crowd gathered at the pool, recognize who Jesus was, who had come amidst the crowd and healed somebody? Like these catechumens baptized now into Christ and now illumined in Him. After the baptismal font, a few weeks later, of course, as I said, the catechumens go back into the world, as we are in the world, but not of the world. And we are tempted, because of the situation I mentioned already, we are tempted to sin. And so Jesus finds the newly healed individual. He finds the paralytic now healed. Later on. And He says to him quietly, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." And so the catechumens, now baptized into Christ, now Christians, no longer catechumens, are told by Jesus. They hear the reading in the church now, reminded, now go out and live this life, a life of sinlessness. But you say, how is that possible? You already said we are tempted. Yeah, we are tempted, but we don't need to fall. But do we fall? I know I have, at least once or twice. So what do we do? We have an opportunity in the church which is called the restoration of our baptismal grace. What happens if somebody becomes a paralytic again? What happens if after the baptismal font someone falls into grave sin? We fall into imperfections and sin every day. I don't know. I think I sin while when I wake up and when I go to bed, when I'm breathing. And so what do? We live a life constantly saying, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner." But when we find that we have found ourselves in some sort of more grievous or habitual sin, it is time for a rebaptism. A rebaptism. Now, Abuna, I thought you said we don't have rebaptism in the church, do we? No, we don't call it that. And we don't use water, but it is a restoration of the baptismal grace. It is as if you are baptized again. And we call that sacrament Holy Confession, or, as I like the title, Reconciliation. Reconciliation. A healing again, reconciling someone to God again, as if they've just come back out of the baptismal font. And any of you here who have availed yourself of this wonderful sacrament of confession, know the peace and the joy and the relief you feel walking out of the church in that situation. Right? Having confessed your sin to Christ, having received absolution in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, just like in the baptismal font. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And again, we are healed. And then we go out and try again to live a life of purity. But we know if something happens again, we can come to the church with a repentant heart and be restored to what we had. And that's the life we live from here until the second coming of Christ. And so I encourage you, come to confession. We have confession available during Vespers on Saturday evenings. We have confession now available here Sunday mornings from 10 o'clock to 11. I'm here celebrating morning prayer and Orthros with the others that are here as well. Or by appointment if you need a special time. Often Father Christopher is here as well. That's another time, another opportunity to go to confession, and much easier when there's multiple priests. I encourage you strongly. Avail yourself of this wonderful sacrament in this post-baptismal, this post-Pascha period of the church, as we constantly try to reform ourselves, refashion ourselves through the grace of Jesus Christ, living a life of purity into His image and likeness. And to Him be glory, with His eternal Father, and His all-holy and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to age of ages. Amen.